Hello and welcome to the Beis Havad's Business Halacha Daily. We are joined today by Rav David Grossman, Rosh Beis Havad. The Beis Havad very often receives questions related to wills and Yerushas, inheritances, sometimes very complicated shailas. These questions are very common. Unfortunately, sometimes they do lead to disagreements among family members. I'd like to read the Rav a question that we got that hopefully will allow us to discuss some of the relevant issues. So the person who submitted it writes as follows: my father passed away suddenly, leaving a sizable estate behind. He never executed any halachic or legal will. I know that according to halacha, my sister does not get a portion, and my brother and I should split the estate. However, my lawyer explained that according to secular law, she would get a third unless she signs away her rights to it. My sister refuses to do so, claiming that under Dina de Malchusa, she should indeed get a portion. Who is right in this case?
Yeah, so this is a very relevant question. There's when a person dies intestate without leaving over any type of will, usually, it's going to, the halachas of Yerusha of the Torah are going to contradict and be in conflict with the law. Very clearly, in many places in Shulchan Aruch, it very clearly states that Dina Malchus Adina does not play a role in Hilchas Yerusha at all. Dina Malchus Adina has to do with people who, you know, two sides that are negotiating, that have a deal, or the Tavis HaMelech, but it doesn't have any relevance to Hilchas Yerusha. In Yerusha, we have, there's a very clear, it's very clearly defined in the Torah who the Yerushim are. Like you mentioned, the son is the Yerush, not the daughter. Unless there are no sons, then it would go to the daughter. And many times it's a very uncomfortable situation. If a person writes a will, and writes a special halachic will that would validate any type of civil will, then things are much, much clearer and a person can really do anything and give, bequeath anything that they'd want to various people, to their wife, their spouse, their daughters, as long as it's written properly and clearly and al pi halacha. But if a person passes away without setting up his estate in that manner, there are issues, because al pi halacha, like we mentioned, the yoyrish gets everything, and the sisters, the daughters, would not inherit. So al dina malchus adina, that would not play a role. There is a very significant discussion in the Paiskim. What's the halacha if legally, in order for a son, an heir, a yoyrish, to actually execute and actually get the funds from his deceased father, he would have to go to court to probate, and there's a system in place, and part of that system is that the daughters or any of the non-halachic heirs which are heirs in secular law, they have to sign off that they agree that they, even though they're rightfully in civil law, they're entitled, but they're signing off and they're giving it to their brother. So what happens if a daughter would just say that I'm not signing the paper? So does she have to sign the paper, or can she say, I'll let's negotiate. You got the entire estate. Give me a third. Give me half. I'll sign it away. If not, I'm not signing. And that would really lock up the funds, and the son would not be able to inherit practically. So some are of the opinion that there's a halacha of hashavas aveda, that a person has the obligation to return or to make accessible any funds that are owned by somebody. They would have to really do everything they can to, let's say you find somebody's object in the street, you have to return it to them. So here you have the ability to enable this, your brother, to go to court and get the money, even though you're legally entitled to it, but halachically you're not entitled to it. So halachically everything belongs to the brother, so you would have an obligation to facilitate that with the Hashavas Aveda. Others say that we know that in halacha and Hashavas Aveda is that a person doesn't have to incur expenses in order to be Meshav Aveda. He can, if it costs money, he doesn't have to be Meshav Aveda. And so in that case, some say that the sister, since it's costing her basically her Yerusha, she's allowed to charge for it, for her, you know, for doing this service of signing it over to the brother. And there's a big machlokes in the Paiskim if a daughter has an obligation to facilitate it, or she's allowed to ask for money from it.
When you say it's costing her, it's not halachically.
It's not really costing her.
Not really costing her because it's not she's not eligible for it halachically.
Right, but she's allowed to charge for her time and effort, and some say she's allowed to charge a significant fund.
What has the Rav seen typically in such a case? What do most people do where they're at an impasse? And
usually they try to come to some type of pshara, some type of agreement, because you know the resentment that could be caused. I mean, I personally, you know, I'm involved in many cases. I was once, you know, involved in a case of a family got totally destroyed, you know, over $18,000 Yerusha, and they wouldn't, and they wouldn't come to each other's simchas. Is like terrible. You know, it's a very, you know, there are three. The way it works is the more people invest in the relationship, when it breaks up, like, you know, the more, you know, like a marriage or a partnership or children that have, you know, years and years of investment and trust, and when there's money on the table and it breaks up, it breaks up in the worst way. So, you know, obviously the best thing is for parents to really sit down and do it correctly to avoid a lot of this. But usually it comes to a pshara because life, you know, the families have to move on, and this is really a way to help them do that.
Thank you. If you enjoyed this video and would like to receive additional ones or to sponsor future videos, please click the link below or visit basehavad.org.